Amen. So if you have your Bibles open or your app or whatever it will be, the reading will come in a bit that will be up on the screen as well. I want us to watch a short video clip, first of all. And the video presents two metaphors for what being part of a church community might be like. Now, as you watch it, keep in mind what's going on with your teaching series at Evesham Baptist Church at the moment. And as you work through looking at your church values, you'll be familiar with that image on the screen. And it's good to have that right in front of me on the lectern this morning. And so today's value that we're thinking about is involvement. So when you see some questions at the end of the video clip, that's your big clue on how you might respond. Okay, let's watch this, please. Do you know, there are times when the cruise ship feels so attractive, doesn't it? We all need those moments of rest where we can just be, where we can just sit and we can be renewed and restored. And so aspects of that cruise ship mentality, they kind of feel really appealing. We might be tempted to say, well, perhaps they do have their place in church life. But here's the thing. If that becomes the norm, and all but a few people in the church community are active and busy, then I tell you one direction that ship is going to be going in is towards a painful shipwreck. It's not going to go well. Perhaps the battleship reference with its war-focused overtones feels a little bit uncomfortable. There's always a limitation with every good illustration. Perhaps that feels a little bit uncomfortable to compare church against. But it made the point. The words that were on the screen, the comments that were made, the questions being asked, it sets our focus on wanting to know that the vision and mission purposes of church are right and that those who lead us are focused on Jesus. And that's what Edward included in his sermon on the 26th of April. I listened to that one on your website. How your church values articulate your mission focus as a church, and how they're set in place by being a community-focused church together with that commitment fully and completely around Jesus. Bringing all of that thinking into our thinking about involvement, it happens according, I don't know if you can read it on that screen because the text is quite small, but on your little cards it says, involvement, according to the gift and ability, all are encouraged to find their right seat. In freedom and joy, we grow as we serve. That's a great phrase. And the three questions at the end of the video were, are you equipped? Can you contribute? Are you honoured? That was the word it had on the screen. Or we might say, are you respected and encouraged? Let's keep that in mind. That's what we're going to be focusing on as we go through. Let's look at the Bible together and unpack how this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 leads us into a right understanding and response as a church and our place of involvement. So the words will be on the screen. I have to confess, the words I've put on the screen might differ slightly to the words I've got in my Bible in front of me. I apologise if they do. I forgot to check them. I'll read as it's going. It won't be that different. So the letter to the Corinthians says this: the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. You were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would its sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, and also having gifts of healing. Those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, those speaking in different kinds of tongues, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Eagerly desire the greater gifts. The context for the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Corinth was in his response to the disturbing messages he was been receiving about how far off course they were beginning to drift. He wanted to correct their mistakes. He wanted to refocus their hearts and minds and give them the tools that they needed to continue their journey focused on Jesus, equipped to be a blessing to each other within the church and to those around them. Now, I'm going to leave it to Edward to deal with the bits for Evesham Baptist Church that might be about correcting mistakes or refocusing hearts and minds. I don't know what kind of mayhem you cause him, so I'll leave him to sort that out. The bit that we want to look at this morning is the context that we're dealing with today, is our task to understand how we all fit into the bigger thing that's called Evesham Baptist Church, and how we do that in ways that enable us individually and therefore church together to thrive and grow and encourage as we do that through our involvement. We need to see, first of all, why we're needed, don't we? To be willing to be involved. You know, when I was thinking about the passage to read for today, I deliberately chose not to start with one that goes straight into listing out all the different gifts or spiritual gifts. Those passages are important, and they include valuable teaching for us today. But the context they're written into is so different to ours, isn't it? 1 Corinthians does come to that list. We had that towards the end. Other passages, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, they both include lists of the ways that the people of God are gifted and equipped to serve their communities. But none of them is complete on their own. None of those lists in the different Bible passages have it all covered. None of them include mention of being involved as part of church by sitting at the IT desk and doing your thing over there. None of them talk about making coffee after the service. And there are all kinds of other things that we can look at and go, well, do you know what? That's not included in what I'm seeing in the Bible. The things that make church happen in our context. There are so many different things, aren't there? Don't use those passages in the Bible to decide that because the thing that you feel most equipped for or most passionate about isn't included, well, you can sit back and not be involved. This is not how life works for the church today. Our starting point that we need to be able to see the ways in which God has gifted and equipped us for now, how they fit in, how we can be involved in those ways, and how every part of that is needed. The analogy that Paul uses is this. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts that all form one body. The one unit, the body, it's only at its most complete when we look at it that way and see that there are many individual parts that all need to work together and realize that every single one of them is needed in different ways, or the whole thing doesn't function at its best. A thriving, healthy, growing church only exists when we see and understand that everything and everybody is needed to work together for the church to be at its best. Do you know, I wouldn't be a Baptist minister today if someone in the church I grew up in hadn't noticed the ways that God had equipped me within the church in particular ways. And it wouldn't have happened had I not been nurtured and encouraged to see that for myself, because I couldn't see it when somebody first said that to me. I laughed in their face and walked away. I needed nurturing. I needed somebody to notice. I needed nurturing. I needed encouraging. I needed the opportunity to grow and develop into those things. And it's the same for all of us. For the church to be the body that Paul is writing here about in Corinthians, we need to notice the people around us. Encourage and nurture them. Give them the opportunity to explore their gifting. Invite them to be involved. Do you know, no one starts as the complete finished product. We need to give people time and space. Not to be great to begin with, even make a complete mess or fail. That doesn't matter. The thing that matters is that we notice, we give opportunity, we nurture and encourage. In these opening verses, that's all set in place with Jesus at the center of all of it. In those first two or three verses, it's Jesus right at the center of all of it. No distinction is made on background or identity, just on being called together through Jesus. Being made complete as one unit through baptism by the Spirit. So our responsibility begins with noticing and nurturing, and then that can only be set in place as each person willingly steps into their calling and their gifting. That's our next point. We need to live within our calling and our gifting. At the church I grew up in Chesham in Buckinghamshire, we had a very strong and active Boys and Girls Brigade. And we had a Boys and Girls Brigade band. And I grew up longing to be part of that. And I had one fixed plan in my mind. I wanted to play Howard's drum. I looked up to Howard and was in awe of his drumming skills. That's what I was going to do and nothing else. When I was able to join the band, that's what I wanted to be like. That's who I wanted to be like. I ended up as the lead trumpeter. That was not my plan. There weren't any spaces for drummers when I joined the band, but there were for trumpeters. And I wouldn't have known that I could do that had somebody not encouraged me and given me a go. And I was thinking about this again this morning before I left home. I feel so sorry for our neighbours during those early years of learning to play that trumpet. I wouldn't have known I could do that had I not been noticed, nurtured and encouraged. At the same church, there was a guy called Keith who reluctantly took part in a gifts discovery course. And he found it a complete joke when the outcome of that course suggested that he had a strong ability to lead children's work. Keith was a landscape gardener. He had never worked with children in his life and had no plan to. But the church encouraged him. He told them it would be a disaster and would so decided the only way to get them to realize that would be to prove it to them by giving it a go. You probably work out where this one's going next. Keith was amazing with the children's work. The kids loved him, and he led the children's work for a number of years after that. Those two examples are what Paul is illustrating when he says the things he does in this middle section of the passage. Because the foot isn't a hand or an ear isn't an eye, those parts can't decide not to belong, not to be part of the body. Each part is set in place to be the part of the body that it needs to be. Now, how does this all happen? If you look at verse 18 again, it's quite straightforward. God has arranged it to be this way. It's not by some clever design. It's not by anything else other than God's plan. And then there's a transition point from verse 20 into verse 21. Up to verse 20, it's all about recognizing that each part is needed and valued. From verse 21, it flips around the other way slightly, where one part of the body has no right to conclude that it's superior to the other. There's a shift there. Do you see that shift? Before that, it was about concluding, well, I'm not this or that, so I'm not going to get involved. Here now it is a warning against saying, well, I am this and I am that, so I am the best and I'm going to get involved and you're not. Paul's given a warning there. In fact, the instruction is given to the Corinthian church to notice what the text describes as the lesser parts of the body, those that are perhaps more normally treated as are being dispensable or unpresentable, but to notice them and give them careful attention in the same way that you would any other part of the body. That all turns the default ways of how life is lived around us on its head, doesn't it? Things that are weaker are normally the things that are given little value or are somehow seen as being kind of less acceptable, and so they're shunned, they're given no chance. But the text here is turning that on its head. And look at verse 24. It starts off with the words, but God, and then gives an explanation. You know, so often in Paul's letters, where he starts with, but God, or something similar, it leads on to an important statement that he's making. It brings us back to that beginning focus, everything focused around the centrality of Jesus. The church in Corinth was being refocused to enable everyone to know that the church, in that church, they could find their right seat. That's the words on your statement, isn't it? That they could find the right seat. Everyone was needed. Everyone was valued and included. Everyone was noticed and given the opportunity to be involved in the way that God called them into and gifted them for. The same way as for church to be thriving as the living body of Christ today is what's going on for you as Evesham Baptist Church, as it was in Corinth at the time. The church is called and set apart to enable everyone to be involved in freedom and joy, where every person can grow as they serve. That's words from your value again. We need to enable growth through Jesus-focused involvement. Towards the end, right at the end of the passage that I read, it seems to end with Paul saying that the goal is to go after the biggest, the best, the most impressive of gifts. A better translation from the original Greek would highlight that not everyone has the same gifts, and Paul has done that. And then it would end by saying something like, eagerly strive after the best gift God has given to you and live out ways of love for everyone else around you, so that they can do the same. That's the important bit there. Every gift is of value within the church. Whether you have been here forever or you have just arrived, there is a right seat for you here. Whether you feel worthy or not, whether you feel ready or not, whether you feel experienced enough or not, there is a right seat for you here. It's got nothing to do with the desperation of the leaders to fill gaps on rotas by any means possible. It's got nothing to, well, maybe apart from for the coffee on a Sunday morning. It's got nothing to do with Edward suddenly deciding, oh, do you know what? I could just offload all this other stuff I don't want to do and focus on the things that I like the best. That better not be what he's doing. Otherwise, when I see him, I'll have a chat. It's nothing to do with that, is it? It's nothing to do with just taking an easy option, an easy route through. But it's because of how Jesus has commissioned his church to be church in his name. For the body of Christ, to the church, to be a thriving and growing expression of Christ's fullness, where everyone knows that they're welcome and being involved. That involvement isn't just a nice to have convenient thing. It's vital. It's a vital part of what it means to be part of church. Whoever you are in the community of Esham Baptist Church, you have something to offer. Through your involvement, Esham Baptist Church can be all God that has called it out to be and set it apart to be. It starts with your own commitment to Jesus, to be his disciples. And then a commitment from those around you to say, you are welcome here, in ways that invite people into authentic community, shaped by open and vulnerable relationships that are inclusive of everyone as people created and loved by God. These words are all what you live by on your values statement. When all of that is happening, when all of that comes together, involvement will come naturally and easily as you nurture each other into the right seat for you with freedom and joy. This is the way of journey. That's that's next week's sermon, the way of journey. This is the way of journey that Evesham Baptist Church is called to live out, and to do that in ways that notice God, people's God-given gifts, that value each other equally and each other's gifts equally, that create space and freedom for people to give it a go as part of your shared journey together. And in that way, you find out more about Jesus and enable more and more people around you and the communities around you to do the same. Just pause here with me. Just have a look around you at the moment, in the room at the moment. Who do you see that God has gifted and equipped that they maybe haven't quite realized that yet? And so they need your nurture and your encouragement. Who do you see in Evesham Baptist Church that has a particular gifting that needs to be noticed, encouraged, and nurtured? Who needs to be invited to take their right seat? Not like I did it earlier on and put people over here and panicked them, but invited to take their right seat. And so enabled to live within the church community in freedom and joy as they grow and serve. Who do you see? Who do you notice? Who needs to be nurtured and encouraged? I'm going to leave that question hanging because I can't answer that for you. You can only answer that for yourselves. I could look around and go, well, maybe this person, maybe that person, but I only know one of you, two of you a little bit. So you need to work this out for yourselves as church. Notice, nurture, encourage. Create space for people to give it a go. And we do that in the name of Jesus and no other. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the challenge of your word, the reminder in your word. Lord, just that simple step of noticing that you have called your church together, a whole in your church, a whole mixture of diversity and difference. But Lord, you do that in unity. It's amazing that that is possible. And so, Father, I pray that you will keep encouraging Evesham Baptist Church to look around themselves and notice who it is that you have gifted in different ways, who it is that needs that encouragement and that nurturing, that space to give it a go, even if it doesn't go quite as well as the person before them. It doesn't matter. That's the starting point, Lord. Father, I pray over your church in this place that involvement will be a natural thing, where all are encouraged to find their right seat, and so in freedom and joy the church will grow. Individuals will grow as they serve and as we serve each other and the community around. So we pray, Lord, that this will be happening so easily and naturally. This will be the norm as it sits within the whole value statement for your church in this place. Be a blessing, we pray, Lord. Be the one who leads and guides your church into all things. Amen.